Reading from 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 2nd, 2024. Feeling a little conviction or maybe overwhelmed by these verses. Wow, there's a lot in there. And I think as God's word can do, it should bring us to pause, to think through, to get to know him better. But oftentimes there's healthy conviction. Healthy conviction will always point out sin, and yet it'll draw us to God. Condemnation, which comes from the devil, will have you kind of run away from God. But God is loving. He's caring. He wants us to be refined, to model Jesus to this hurting world. And I trust today, through some of the nuggets of Mike Crosta joining us again to facilitate our discussion, we're going to learn some good things, and we're going to learn how to keep our love alive, how we can stay in love with God, and ways to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. And if you were tuned in last week, Pastor Jason Schiffel was sick. He's doing much better now. But Mike had raised some topics, because last week we talked about three scriptures that are kind of terrifying when you take to heart what the Lord's word says. It causes us to pause and to think through, wow, am I violating that principle? Or could I grow cold in my love? Might I turn from Christ? And so we talked a bit about some scriptures that we want to take notice of. And so if you missed last week's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But Mike Crosta joins us again. I won't give a formal introduction, Mike, but you're a free agent for Jesus. You love the Lord. You and your wife, Kathy, have been in the greater Champaign-Urbana area these 4 or 5 years, very involved in the Ministry Leaders Luncheon. You help oversee a prayer ministry at Vineyard Church in Urbana. Anything I can do to team up with you, I want to do, because I appreciate your gift sets, and you're part of our prayer gathering and helped organize the audience of one. And so you're back today to talk about a few things, the Lordship of Jesus and how we can keep in the center of God's love, how we can continue growing in our love for God and our understanding of God's love for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Mark. You know, that scripture in Timothy, it lists 18 characteristics of people in the last days. And I think anyone in the room could easily see, we could probably find an example in our culture today of every single one of those. People that are abusive, disobedient to their parents, lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God. We could go down that list. And then it gets to that really frightening last line, Mark, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And that's the part that scares me, honestly. You know, because Paul says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And so what this is saying, what Paul is saying in Timothy, to me anyway, is the Christian walk has got to be identified with power. But in the last days, there will be people who will appear to be godly. They will appear godly. They may go to church. They may listen to Christian podcasts. They may give their tithe. They may do great ministry. They may appear godly. But inside, in their heart, Mark, in their soul, they deny the power, which is, of course, the Holy Spirit. So that ought to get all of us thinking in very important ways, I think. I think we need to make this point as well with that. Power is something that we don't have. We said this last week. It's something that is given to us, and it's the Holy Spirit in us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, Acts 1, and you will be my witnesses. So the Holy Spirit is the power that you and I need to do this Christian walk. So what I want to challenge people, though, with, part of walking in the power of God is being under the lordship of God. And that's a concept you don't hear much about today. But we talked about it briefly last week. But what does it really mean to have every aspect of our life under the lordship of God? Well, I can give you lots of examples. And Cody, I'm sure you could too, being a pastor. But we meet people all the time who are in our congregations. And yet we know from counseling and praying with them, we know there is a double life. They're living a double life. And so they come to church and they pray. They may be in your ministry. They may be on your ministry team. But there is something fundamentally wrong. They have a secret life that's actually governed by sin. It's not under the lordship of God. And that's what we want to look at today, Mark.
And I want to get some of your feedback or comments, but I remember a distinct period in my life where I was at a conference, and I always knew Jesus as Savior. I think most our listeners tuning in have asked Jesus to come into their heart to forgive them of their sins. So it's easy to recognize we're all sinners, we're all fallen, we need a Savior. But to come under His lordship, to really submit and surrender and be intentional about it, not just on Sunday or Sunday mornings, but all week long, that became a pivot point for me. Like, Lord, I want You master over all of my life. And so there was a real surrendering, or if you will, a deliberate intentionality that, Lord, You are King, You have the right to govern, and I need to fall under that. So I remember making a very distinctive mindset. He's not just my Savior, though He is, but He's the Lord. He's my master. Any other thoughts? Have you all come to that point where you recognize you had to relinquish control? Even though we take it back oftentimes, I realize none of us have that down pat, but was there a distinctive moment where you said, Lord, You are Lord?
I remember kneeling at the side of my bed and saying, Lord, would You please manage my life? I'm not doing very well at it.
Excellent. That's surrender right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember being about 13 and having already been baptized, and I was listening to some Christian music one day, and it just hit me. It was like, wow, this isn't just about going through the motions. And I prayed, Lord, yeah, take over. Come in and do whatever You need to do. And it's still a process. I'm still being repaired. But, yeah, submission, complete submission.
We were at a Jesus rally in 1972 or 1973 at McCormick Place. I became a born-again believer. Dale Evans Rogers was speaking. It was during the Jesus Revolution.
Oh.
And I became a believer. My sister had been praying for me. She was the first one in our whole large family that became a Christian. And then I became a Christian, and I have never regretted that. Yes, I have failed Him.
Now, when you say you became a Christian, because we have a wide range of listeners, what does that mean, you became a Christian?
I asked Jesus to come into my heart, into my life, and to change me. Grew up in a denominational ministry, but we didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm. And saying that you accepted Jesus in your heart, you recognized Him as the one that God sent to redeem us, that died on a cross, that shed His blood on our behalf because we were all destined to hell. We couldn't earn our way into heaven, but because of His shed blood and what God ordained to have happen, our sin was transferred onto Him, and you recognize Him as Savior?
I recognize that, and it was not my church membership that got me saved. It was Jesus.
It's submission to the Lord. Yeah, I had been a Christian for many, many years at this point. This was years ago now. And all of a sudden, I found that my life started to not work right. Things were starting to go wrong. I was getting frustrated. And as I was getting frustrated, I was getting really angry, and I couldn't figure out. My job wasn't going well. My career wasn't going well. And I was in a truck one time with a friend of mine, and he had been praying for me. And he looked at me and he said, Mike, I think it has something to do with your father. And I wanted to hit him. I was like, what? How's that? But actually, He spoke truth to my heart. And I went home and I realized I had a broken relationship with my father. Say that another way. I had unforgiveness toward my father, and that part of my life was not under the lordship of Jesus. And so I knew that I was convicted. I've got to fix this relationship with my dad. And so that Christmas, I decided to go home with one purpose. I was going to go home and I was going to tell my dad that I loved him. And I did. I went home. He came to the door. I hugged him. I said, Dad, I want you to know I love you. And I did that three times that Christmas. And that broke something in me. That part of my life came right under the Lordship of Jesus. And then amazing things started to happen. That's another story. But I say that story because I had been a Christian. And I thought I was a pretty good Christian. But there was this one area of unforgiveness that was not given to the Lord. It wasn't pleasing to the Lord. And I wasn't even aware of it.
So talk a little bit for the listener, for all of us, how can we come or submit to be more fully under the Lordship of Jesus? Or how do we look at Jesus as more than just our Savior?
Well, that's a great question, Mark. And I actually found a number of scriptures that actually start speaking to this. And I'm going to just share a few of them. Paul says that we are to keep in step with the Spirit. We've said in this discussion that it's the Spirit that gives us that energy and that power. And Paul's saying, you've got to keep moving with the Spirit. It's like a dance partner. You've got to move with your dance partner. And the Holy Spirit is the one we have to keep moving with. He also says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't do that. I love this scripture. And I can give you the addresses of these at another point. But never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep that fervor serving the Lord. I love that one. And then this one. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That is one way we are nurturing and we're stewarding the presence of God in us, right? We all have the Holy Spirit, but not the Holy Spirit isn't fully resident in all of us. Well, I don't want to say it that way. We all have the Holy Spirit, and we've got completely the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit hasn't been fully released in all areas of our life. That's what I mean by that. And so if I could take you through a little imagination exercise here, I want you to imagine that it's the day after Pentecost in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit was poured out, sound like the driving wind. People are jabbering in tongues. Oh, these guys are drunk. 5,000 people come into the faith, and a new thing is born for the first time ever on the planet Earth. Something is born, and that's the church. The church is born with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, imagine you are on the leadership team with the apostles the next day. And this just happened yesterday now, right? And you're on the leadership team with the apostles, and I can imagine what that conversation was like. How are we going to sustain this? How are we going to preserve this? How are we going to nurture and strengthen and steward the Holy Spirit in our community? And I believe Acts 2:41 and 2:42 to 2:47 in there, I believe that's their answer as to how they were going to keep the Holy Spirit alive, keep the fire of the Spirit alive. And briefly, the scripture is they devoted themselves to four things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then they ate together in their homes with glad and sincere hearts. That's how the early church decided to sustain and keep that fire of the Holy burning in their community and in their individual lives. Make sense?
And I'm thinking, I just wrote those down. Can you break down those four? Because
the
breaking of bread, some might say, well, did they share sandwiches together? Or was that communion?
That's good.
That fellowship? So maybe walk us through those
four
points.
Sure. Of course, if you think about it, each one of those four things that they decided to be devoted to, right? Devoted to. That means that thing is the number one thing. And there's no competition with that. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That would be the Word of God. That would be the teachings of Jesus plus the Old Testament scriptures. And it says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. When you look that word up and you connect it with other things in the New Testament, the fellowship means the community in worship. That's what it means with the Holy Spirit active and the gifts flowing. Breaking of bread, of course, is communion. And there's something that we certainly cannot neglect. This early church was devoted to communion. Why? Well, if you think about it, each one of these things is nourishing the Spirit of God in you in a different way. The Word of God nourishes the Spirit. Communion connects us back to what Jesus did, and we're reconnected to his sacrifice and to the cross, right? The fellowship and worship, we're all worshiping, and the Holy Spirit's present, and that Spirit comes alive in us as we worship, and of course in prayer as well. Prayer is direct communication with the heart of God. So as they were devoted to these four things, they nourished the Holy Spirit in their community and their lives. And by the way, I want to mention three people that came out of that prayer group. This is a prayer group that was devoted to these four things. And who are the three guys that are really marked in Scripture? Stephen, Philip, and Barnabas came out of that prayer group. And you know what? If you go look this up, Mark, every time those guys are described, they're described as being full of something. Full of the Spirit. Full of wisdom. Full of faith. Stephen, when we first meet him, he's described as being full of five different virtues. Well, why was Stephen full of these things? Because he came from a prayer group that was devoted to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, communion, and prayer. Because they were devoted to that, these guys were full, and as they were full, they went out, and then you look at what they did. Stephen did incredible miracles. Remember Stephen's face? Shining like an angel. Well, why was his face shining? He was in the presence of God, like Moses was. On the mountain, Moses was in the presence of God for 40 days, came back, put a veil on his face. Well, now we have Stephen, an ordinary New Testament guy. His face is glowing. Why? He's been in the presence of God. He's been nourishing the presence of God. He did miracles. He did signs and wonders. He taught the Scriptures. These guys were incredible. And by the way, I think everybody needs to know this, Mark. These are ordinary people just like us. These are ordinary people. Stephen was a table waiter. Philip was a table waiter. I think Barnabas probably a businessman. I don't know. Ordinary people. And that should give us encouragement that that's a standard we can aspire to.
And I'm thinking, being full of the Spirit, this is during circumstances when he's being stoned, yeah. Being murdered,
yeah.
And yet there's a peace about him, and that's just something for all of us to think through. It's easy to be in a great mood when you're on the cruise ship being fed and enjoying life, but when things are rough and tough and things aren't going your way, are you still reflecting God in such a way like Stephen and others?
Oh, right. It actually says in Acts, that passage about Stephen, it says his opponents, I just love this line, his opponents could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. Why couldn't they stand up against his wisdom? Because it says in Acts 6 he was full of wisdom. And why couldn't they stand up to the Spirit by which he spoke? Because he was full of the Spirit, because he had come from that community. You see, this is what can happen to us when we're devoted to the right things. And this comes back, Mark, to lordship. This is how we maintain our lordship, the lordship of Jesus over us, is we nurture the Holy Spirit that he gave us. And that's how we remain connected to Jesus.
And I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul, who was holding the garments or was right there witnessing Stephen and the impact that that probably had on him.
Absolutely.
As he looked back at that point after coming to know Jesus to say, wow, it must have left an indelible mark on Paul Paul turned so much after that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? A point I want to tease out of this, Mark. The apostles, when they had to get the table waiters, right? The community was increasing, and they needed people to wait on tables. The requirement for the table waiter was, it says there, pick seven men among you that are full of the Spirit and wisdom. Wow, what a strange requirement for people that are just going to hand out food. But they wanted to be full. Now, here's the subtle part. Pick people who are full. That implies to me, Mark, that there are people that are not full. We talked last time about being in overflow, and I think that's what this is about here. This Stephen guy was in overflow. He was flowing with the Holy Spirit because he nurtured the Spirit. But you know what? We cannot be in overflow. We cannot be full. We can be empty. We can be empty. And I think that's probably a lot of us, that we're not nurturing the Spirit of God in us the way we should, maybe.
Well, Mike, in our closing 2 or 3 minutes, we also talked about keeping yourself in God's love. How can we do that?
Well, I think we've just implied a way to do that. I think if we fan into flame the Spirit of God in us, right, then that's going to keep the Spirit alive in us and overflowing, and that's going to keep us in the love of God. But also it says in John, too, if we obey his commands. So there's an obedience factor here, that we need to obey the Lord's commands that keeps us in his love. And I think those are the two main ways I can think of. Preserve the spirit in you, obey the Lord's commands, and that's going to keep you right in that zone. And certainly, as you pointed out, Mark, here people are stoning him for no good reason. And he says, Father, forgive these guys. They don't know what they're doing. That's the love of God coming out of Stephen. And it's coming out of Stephen because he's full of the Holy Spirit.
And I think of those four points that you made earlier about the apostles teaching the Word of God. The Word of God connects us to God. We get to see his character and understand he is for us, and his word is living and active. So that'll empower us or keep us full by being in God's word. And the fellowship, being around other Christians, like-minded believers that love Jesus. You know, it's never good to be a solo Christian by yourself.
Yeah, so yeah, community. That.
And then the breaking of bread. I love when our church, once a month, always has the communion service, or the portion of the service is devoted to communion, because it's the reminder of what Jesus did. His body was broken, his blood was shed for us, so it always connects us to him. And then prayer, which we're all passionate about through events that we're going to put on, or just our personal prayer throughout the day, or at noontime where we continue to encourage everyone to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's connecting with God. Prayer is communing. Prayer is talking with God, receiving God's message, hearing from him. So I think as we practice these four things, we can not only stay in God's love, but it'll help us with that lordship issue.
Exactly. Yeah, amen.
So, Pastor Cody, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you close out our time in prayer?
Sure. Yeah. Father, we just come to you, and God, we thank you, first of all, for your son, Jesus, that you sent to die on a cross for us. And Lord, when we think about your love and our love for you, and God, your love for us cost you everything. So, Lord, that makes me believe that our love for you has to cost us something. And God, when we realize that, Lord, it's that cost that we have to pay the price every single day when we wake up that really helps make the decision of if we're going to follow you or not. I pray for the one right now who's struggling, God, for the one who might not know you at all, Lord, that you would pour out your love for them. And God, I pray for the one who does know you, but Lord, right now they're just going through it, and they're hurting, and they're not really sure, really, of if you're even listening anymore. But Lord, we know that, God, you are closer than a friend. God, you are near to us. God, just the mention of your name. And Father, we just come to you, and God, we ask that, Lord, you would just be with us. Lord, be with them, God, as they're driving down the road today, God, or if they're in their house listening, God. God, you can be wherever they are. In Jesus' name, amen.